We're talking about boldness today. What is boldness? Anybody have, there's no candy involved, I'll just get that out the way right now. But does anybody have an definition for boldness? Standing up for what you believe. Boldness, that, yes. If you're bold, then you do stand up for what you believe, right? Madam, what's your name again?
Katie.
Katie.
Getting up and out of your comfort zone and doing something out of the ordinary.
Getting up and out of your comfort zone, doing something out of the ordinary. An awesome definition. I got two more over here. One.
Boldness isn't about how loud you say something, but it's about when Jesus is backing your words and you actually stand up and say what he's telling you.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Not about how loud you say something. Not about how loud you say something. But whether or not Jesus is backing you up, giving you boldness in order to say it, right? Go for it.
Doing things in confidence.
Doing things in confidence. Awesome. Awesome. The definition that I checked out, that I saw of boldness, is the trait of being willing to undertake things that involve risk or danger. The trait, if for those who are taking notes, the trait of being willing to undertake things that involve risk or danger. Example. You guys know it's that time of the show where Mr. Danny pulls out an example. Example. I'm going to pull one out of the hat. Pull one out of the hat. Let's say, thank you for the hat. Let's say you are in a situation where someone comes up to you and they say, "This is not a drill. If you are a Christian, I will kill you right now." A little bit intense, right? If you are a Christian, if you say the name of Jesus Christ, it's over. I'm going to kill you right now. I'm not saying that's what they're saying right now. I'm just saying an example. Now, are you willing to undertake the task of saying Jesus Christ, even though that there is risk and just a little bit of danger? Just a little bit of danger. That right there will be an example of boldness. And we know that people endure that type of situation on a daily basis, whether they're in other countries who are being persecuted for their faith all the time. So we established that boldness, the willingness to undertake a situation that involves risk or danger. Now, as I was searching this topic out, I was thinking about it, and I began to think about, okay, that person that's in that situation, that they might be murdered, persecuted, or something like that for Christ's sake. What are some reasons that people might lack boldness? They don't want to die. They don't want to endure that risk. Stay with me, guys. They don't want to endure that risk. But there's some situations that come about that aren't as risky, that aren't as troublesome, but yet some people lack boldness. Like, if somebody walks in the bath, walks in this room right here, and they say, "Hey," they interrupt my sermon, they interrupt the message right now, because they really need to go to the restroom. So they walk in the door and they say, "Hey, I need to go to the restroom. Where's the bathroom?" There's some of you guys who might answer, but then there's some of you guys that might not answer, right? Right? Yeah. Now, most people would answer in this room. Why? Because we know where the bathroom is, right? But maybe somebody who's here for the first time, or maybe somebody who has never, maybe you've been here years, but you've never used the bathroom here. It could happen. And maybe you don't know where the restroom is. So that person walks in. "Hey, where's the restroom? I need to use the restroom. It's an emergency." Now, people who know where the restroom is will respond, "Okay, hey, dude, calm down. Not that serious. Bathroom's right over there. Matter of fact, we got more than one. Over there, might be some over there. Just go check it out." Now, and the people who don't know where the restroom is They'll just stay quiet, right? Simple as that. And that's my first point. One reason why people may lack boldness is because they're not knowledgeable about the subject or task at hand. Now, what does the Bible have to say about that? Now, if we go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Oh, I'm in the concordance now. We got 1 Tim, 2 Tim. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Let's focus on that right there. Okay, so let's go back to that person that needs to use the restroom. Stay there for a minute. He comes in. Hey, I need to use the restroom. It's an emergency. Now, a person that does not know where the restroom is, now let's say they try to answer that question, right? All right, what you're going to do is you're going to go down this hall. You're going to make a left. Then you're going to make a right. You're going to go up those stairs. Once you get to the stairs, hang a left at the stairwell. There's an elevator there. It'll take you right to the bathroom. Right? So that happens. So that person, on that faith of believing that person knows what they're talking about, they begin to look for the bathroom. So they go down the hallway, and that's all you got to do right there is stop. They found out that that person does not know what they're talking about. And as a result of not knowing what they're talking about, that person has shamed themselves. They should be ashamed of themselves for leading somebody astray like that. But in serious, but all reality, a person who does not know what they're talking about might be a little bit ashamed to speak up, right? They might not have the courage, they might not have the boldness to speak up, to talk about the task or the subject at hand. Why? Because they don't know what they're talking about. They have no clue of what's going on. And so that's why the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy to study to show thyself approved so you won't need to be ashamed. And as Christians, if we're doing what Jen was talking about last week, stepping up to that challenge, stepping up and put into action to those things that we learned, they're going to come with questions, right? People are going to begin to ask us questions of why we do what we do. Who do we do what we do for? When do we do why what we do doing does? It'll make sense later. Just dwell on it. Let it marinate. But if we don't know the answers to those questions, it can cause us to lack boldness. We won't be as bold. We won't be as confident to speak up about those things that they're asking. Has anybody ever been in a situation where they didn't know what was going on? How eager have you been to jump in the conversation? Not at all, right? I can tell you a time, like, okay, so check it out. My dad and my brothers, I have a couple brothers, adopted brothers. One's adopted and the others are just accountability brothers. And we get together all the time. We're cutting up, we're cracking up, and we talk about sports, or at least they talk about sports. So when we get together, we're talking about sports, or they're talking about sports, and they come over to the house, and my dad is like a sports. He knows everything about every sport, even the sport with the sticks and the on the ice with the
curling.
Hockey. No, the brooms and the rock. Yeah. Curling, right? Yeah. Even that sport. I'm pretty sure my dad knows a little bit about that. So my brothers come over, and my dad and I might be talking, and we might be having a conversation. Doorbell rings, they come in, sit down on the couch, begin to talk sports. Now, my dad and I were just talking about something else, probably. They come in, start talking about sports, and you would think that I wasn't even in the room anymore because I have literally nothing to say. Now, I've been watching a lot of ESPN lately, so I've been I've been trying to get caught up. But as a man, you know, you kind of feel like you need to know something about sports. Now, that's not true, but some people might make it seem that way, you know? So that's what I've been trying to do. But my point is, because I'm not as knowledgeable as them on sports, I have a tendency to keep my mouth shut on those subject matters. And so I know at school, or if you're homeschooled, maybe with your family, there tends to come up times where religion might be talked about, or God might be talked about. And if the conversation's going on, if you're not knowledgeable about what you believe, why you believe it, how you believe it, then you have a tendency to remain quiet and remain silent. But as we just read in the scriptures, that boldness, that need of not being ashamed, comes from studying to show thyself approved. Another reason that I searched out, which is I think the biggest reason that some people might lack boldness, is simply because they lack the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who provides boldness in numerous amounts. Example, if we go to Acts 1, let's run to Acts 1 really fast. Acts is right after John, guys. There we go. Acts 1. If you go to Acts 1:8, Jesus is talking to his disciples, talking to the people who have gathered around to see him ascend into the heavens. And he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth." Now, in this situation, Jesus was just down on earth. He had been here for about 33 years. At 30, he started his ministry, and he's been pouring into these guys, pouring, discipling Peter, Andrew, the rest of the disciples. He's been pouring into them, teaching them. And then right before he leaves, he gives them this vital bit of information. He didn't say that you guys are going to go out and preach. You guys are going to go out and preach in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the other most parts of the earth. He said after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will do those things, which lets me know that the Holy Spirit is a vital aspect to us sharing our faith, or them sharing their faith, which translates to us sharing our faith. An example, if we skip down, let's skip down from Acts 1:8 to Acts 4:7. Acts 4:7. Now, this is an awesome story because some of the high priests who killed Jesus are the same high priests that are in this story. This guy named Ananias, Caiaphas, people of that nature, they have come against Peter. Now, if we know the story of the guy at the gate called Beautiful, right? Everybody knows that story. He was lame from birth. Then he asked for money from Peter, and Peter said, "You know, money I don't have, but what I do have, I'll give to you. Rise up and walk." He begins to walk. Everybody's like, "Oh man, how'd that happen? What the heck? Oh!" So they come at Peter and they're like, "How this happened?" Peter's like, "Well, don't look at me. I'll tell you." And he starts to preach this sermon about Jesus. He even goes so far to say, "Jesus, the one that you guys crucified, is responsible for this." And of course, the leaders and the high priest didn't like this. And so let's dive in the story about there. I said Acts 4, verse 7, right? Okay, let's see. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power?" These are the high priests asking Peter this question. By what power or by what name have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me make sure. Gotcha, okay. So it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day be examined of this good work done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, by all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation by any other, for there is none under the name of heaven given more among men whereby you must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Number 14 is my favorite part. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, and they could say nothing against it. They could say nothing against it. With these guys, what the high priest and what the elders did. So they heard Peter and John preaching Jesus. They heard them preaching the cross, that this man was healed because of Jesus Christ. They didn't like it at all. So what they did was they said, look, since this miracle happened, and if we try to kill these guys like we did Jesus, there's surely going to be a revolt. There's going to be a rebellion. So what we need to do is let's threaten them. Let's threaten them real tough. So they pulled John and Peter aside, and they began to threaten them. And they said, if you guys preach by Jesus again, need I say more? You know what's going to happen. So he told them to leave. But did that stop Peter and John? No, because in 8 is the answer to that question right there. In 8 it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. Not then Peter said unto them, but Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them. And you can find it in the scriptures numerous of times. Peter began to speak, or Paul began to speak. But before they spoke, the scripture says that the Holy Ghost fell upon them, or the Holy Ghost filled them, and they begin to speak. Boldness comes from A, knowledge, because they couldn't speak what they didn't know, right? So A comes from knowledge. Boldness, B, the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, we're not battling with high priests coming to kill us or coming to kick us out of the city. But however, we do have struggles at our school, because Jesus made it known that we will be persecuted for sharing our faith, right? Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, you know, they might not receive you. They might not believe you. They might persecute you. But in Matthew 10:14, he tells them, you know, shake the dust off your shoes and keep on walking. And so we understand that even today, in today's time, at school or maybe our family members, we endure persecution, which can cause us to shrink back. For some people, it can cause them to keep quiet, to lack boldness. And for some people, it might even be what some would call a personality problem. Well, I'm just not, that's not my personality to speak up. That's not my personality to go forth and be bold like that. I like to hang in the back. But when it comes to sharing our faith, we've been commissioned. How many know what the Great Commission is? Exactly. To go out into all the world and preach the gospel, correct? So that's a commandment that Jesus has given us, saying, that's what we're called to do, so go do it. But I understand that some people might feel like they lack boldness. So question, what are a couple ways that we can obtain boldness if we feel like we lack it or we feel like we don't have it? Well, that was kind of rhetorical. Thanks, though. Thanks for being eager. One of the ways I wrote down, I studied out that we can get boldness is from one. What's a simple way? A simple way that we can pray for boldness. I just gave it away, didn't I? A simple way we can get boldness is to pray for boldness in the same way we would wisdom. Okay, let's go to James 1:15 really fast. All right, not 1:15, but 1:5. James 1:5. Yep, James 1:5. If any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So, the scripture tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, do what? Ask for it. So, would it be safe to say that if anyone lacks boldness, what should they do? I need to hear something, y'all. Ask for it, right? Can we get that scripture up really fast again? James 1:5. If any one of you lack, let's substitute that word wisdom for boldness. If any one of you lack boldness, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him or to her. Boldness. There might be some of you guys who feel like, I'm not a bold person by nature. I like to sit in the back. I like to just chill. I like to just breeze by, try to be unnoticed. And in some cases, that's not a bad thing in some cases. But when it comes to sharing our faith, when it comes to being in an environment where people are sharing and pushing their ideas onto the church, when the world is telling the church on how they should live, what's okay and what's not okay, there's a call for boldness. There's a call for the people of God, the youth of God, to become bold, to become like a lion. Has anybody ever seen a lion walking out in the jungle or on the savannah in Africa? Because that's usually where lions are. I've never seen one in the jungles per se. Or even in the zoo. Have you ever seen a lion anywhere for that matter? A lion walking, and then all of a sudden, a mouse comes into a lion's path, and that lion says, oh, excuse me. Pardon me, I didn't see you there, excuse me. Have you guys ever seen something like that? But on the other hand, have you ever seen, maybe Discovery Channel, it's okay, maybe Discovery Channel, have you ever seen a lion walking, and another animal sees that lion and he takes off? Right, because that lion is bold. That lion doesn't fear anything. He has a boldness about himself. Why? Because he's confident in his abilities. He's confident in himself. Now, us as Christians, we aren't confident in ourselves, but we're confident in Christ, right? And so if we're confident in Christ, what other people say, what the world, their ideas and things of that nature, we, as we walk or as we talk, and someone says something that, or we say something that the world might disagree with, but it's truth, it's the word of God, are we to be a lion that says, oh, pardon me, excuse me, I apologize. I know your opinion is this, so I'm just going to subtract my opinion. Or are we to say, yeah, I understand what your opinion is. I hear what you're saying, but let me explain to you what the word of God says. Let me explain to you what my God says. But not only let me explain to you what my God said or what the word of God says, let me explain to you what I've done and how it's worked for me. How I've put the Bible to the test, and it's come through for me time after time after time again. I would say that second thing. Another way that we can get boldness after we ask for it, after we pray for it and believe that the Lord has given it to us, we practice it. I can remember being with my man Drew. Anybody know Drew Main? Awesome kid. Awesome kid. Drew and I were hanging out one time, and he said something that just kind of like stuck with me ever since. We were talking about, I think I was talking about patience, that I wanted to be patient, and I was praying that the Lord would help me be patient. And he said something that just rocked me. He said, now, if we pray for something, I think he might have got it from somebody else. I'm not sure, so I don't know where the credit actually goes to, but it's good. Just trust me. So if we're praying for something, we're praying for patience, or in this case, we're praying for boldness, does the Lord just zap us with boldness, and then all of a sudden we're like, dun-da-da-da, I'm bold. Oh, let me go over there and tell you about Jesus. No? Yes or no? No. Does he just zap you with boldness, and then you wake up the next day, you throw the covers off? Who needs to hear about Jesus today? No. But what he does do, he allows us to have opportunities to grow boldness. In the same way that he gives us faith, and we have to grow our faith, right? You don't start off believing for a mansion. You start off believing for something a little bit smaller. And as you have victory in that area, then you put your faith for something a little bit larger, and then so on and so on. In that same sense, after we pray for boldness, believe that God has given us boldness, we then practice it. We put it in practice. We start off with small situations where we can show ourselves to be boldness or bold. Then a little bit bigger situation where we can be bold. And then a little bit bigger situation where we can be bold until we're the boldest person you've ever seen in your life. That's how it works. It's not there's not a quick way or a step plan or program in order to become bold. It's something that we, A, pray for, believe that the Lord has given it to us, receive it, two, put it in practice. Put it in practice. So if I can go back really fast, because all of these things work together. If we can push them all together, they all mesh together and work together. About lacking boldness, not being knowledgeable about the situation or topic at hand. Nip that in the bud, simply studying to show thyself approved. You guys studying your word? You guys spending time with the Lord? That right there is how you 86 that problem, not being knowledgeable. Spending time in your word. Spending time with the Lord. Boom. They lack the Holy Spirit who provides boldness. Do we have the Holy Spirit in here? For those of you guys who don't have the Holy Spirit, we'll offer some time, a little bit, and we'll get that taken care of. How we can get boldness. Praying for it, and then once we have it, building it up. But like I said, there might be some people in here who feel like they don't have boldness, who feel like they're not a bold person. And then there might be somebody else who has an issue, or that might be the same person who lacked the Holy Spirit, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Then, just maybe, there might be a person in here who's not even a Christian, who doesn't have Jesus in their heart, because you can't get the Holy Spirit without being saved first. And so, what I want to do right now, I would like for, can I get Ms. Lori to come up? Is that cool? Ms. Lori, Jamil, can I get you to come up? Rabia? Another lady in here, maybe. Can I get Steph to come up right fast? I would like to pray with you guys. I'm going to pray with you guys collectively. But if there's anybody in here tonight who feels like they've lacked boldness, if there's anybody in here who says that, man, maybe I've been in situations where people are talking about religion. I know some of you guys have religion classes. I've been in situations where people are discussing God, but I just don't feel adequate, or I just don't feel like I have what it takes to represent God accurately to a lost world. Or maybe you felt like, well, I know about God, and I know what he's done for me, and I have the knowledge to do it, but when I try to talk, it just doesn't come out right. It just doesn't come out the way I have it in my heart. I can't communicate it the way I intend to, because I lack the Holy Spirit. I lack the Holy Spirit, the one that can take a mumbler, the power of God who can take Moses, someone who stutters, and make him adequate to talk to Pharaoh, the king of Israel, king of Egypt, I'm sorry. The one that can take a stutterer, walk into the courts, and stand there boldly and say, this is what my God has said. This is what my God says to you. Let my people go. And some of you guys might feel like that. And so what I want to do is everybody to stand up for me real fast. And we're going to pray. And as I'm praying, everybody's going to have their heads bowed and their eyes closed. And as I pray, if you feel like you are one of those people who lack boldness, for whatever the reason that we covered, or maybe it's a reason that we didn't cover. If you feel like one of those people who lack boldness, we have altar ministers up here right now who would love to pray with you, pray for you, and help you receive that boldness. Maybe you're one of the people who don't have the Holy Spirit. You're a Christian, but you lack that power, that Holy Spirit to swell, to fill you up like he did Peter, and begin to preach the message of Jesus Christ. And lastly, thirdly, I'm not sure how many we have in here, but maybe you're not a Christian at all. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We want to give you that opportunity to do that tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I lift these youth up to you right now, Lord God. Speak to their hearts right now, Lord God. You know the ones who need it, Father. Speak to their hearts right now, Father. And those who already have it, Lord God, continue to build them up, Father. Build them up in such a way that as they leave here and they begin to put those things in practice those things that we've talked about tonight, we talked about last week, waking up, seeing the problems that are around them, standing up, practicing the things that they speak, and rising up, being different, not going with the flow of the world. As they try to practice those things, Lord God, add tonight on top of it. Give them the boldness that they will need in order to carry out the task that you have put before us, Father. Because we know that we are all called. We are all called to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world who needs it. So, Father, I pray right now that as we come together, as we pray in the Spirit, that you would fill us up with boldness, Father, every one of us. Let us be that lion. Let us be that lion that walks through the jungle, not concerned about what any other animal has to say, what any other animal thinks, what any other animal will try to even do, because we know who backs us up. We know that the Holy Spirit's inside of us. We know that Jesus Christ is living on the inside of us. And we know that God is for us. And if God is for us, who should we fear? That right there gives us boldness right there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.